You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Pastor Ken Klaus on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Don't Say in a Minute. Now here is Pastor Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Although there are many earthly blessings for which humanity should daily give thanks, there is none more precious to a Christian than the faith and knowledge that the Son of God has saved him. Although all things temporal pass away, salvation through faith is God's great gift, His lasting gift. For Jesus, along with everything else God has done, we give thanks. Years ago, during the days of propeller planes, an airplane pilot had a peculiar habit. Whenever he took off from his hometown in Minneapolis, he asked the co-pilot to take the controls. For a few moments, he would stare down at the ground below. Eventually, and understandably, the co-pilot's curiosity got the best of him. He asked, "What are you looking at down there?" The pilot replied, "See that spot where the river curves to the left? I used to fish from that spot when I was a kid. Whenever a plane flew over, I would watch it until it disappeared and wish that I could be in that plane. Now," he added, "I wish I could be back down there fishing." That's the world. For the world, there is no contentment, there is no thanksgiving. But for Christians, it's different. Because of Jesus, whether they're flying or fishing, they can remember to give thanks. It's not normal to be content or to give thanks. We forget. A number of years ago, a robber broke into a home in Cleveland, Ohio. He discovered the 81-year-old woman who lived there was his grade school teacher. "You were always good to me," the thief said as he tenderly kissed his teacher upon her cheek. Then he and a friend stole $210 from her. For the world, there is no contentment. There is no thanksgiving. Mrs. Sarah Hale knew that it's not normal to give thanks. Mrs. Sarah Hale? You know Mrs. Sarah Hale. She is the lady who wrote, "Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went..." Well, you know the rest of that story, so I don't have to go into detail. But Mrs. Sarah Hale, author of Mary Had a Little Lamb, was also the lady who in 1828 began a campaign to restore Thanksgiving as a national holiday. I use the word restore because America had had Thanksgiving celebrations before. 3 years after the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth, Governor Bradford of Massachusetts announced, "I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings." The pilgrims had survived diseases, harvested crops, shot game, and now they gave thanks. But it's not normal to give thanks. And soon, thanksgiving faded away. After the Revolution, as our country was getting started and settled, Washington proclaimed, "All should unite in rendering unto him, God, our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country." Great idea. But it was only a few years before Thomas Jefferson, our third president, discontinued Thanksgiving Day, calling the celebration a kingly practice. Then came Mrs. Hale. She felt our country should be thankful for what the Lord had given us. She went to one official after another. "Too naive, impractical, impossible." Those were the replies she got until the day she met President Lincoln. He liked her idea. Set aside the fourth Thursday of November to be National Thanksgiving Day. But Congress didn't approve it, and it took almost 80 years until 1941, when our country was again involved in another war, a world war, for Congress to set aside a day of Thanksgiving. Those are the facts. They say it clearly. For the world, there is no contentment. There is no thanksgiving. We forget. That's partly because most folks think that they don't have much about which to give thanks. Texas are tough. Traffic is treacherous. Terrorists are threatening. Tomorrow seems troublesome. The washing machine is making demonic sounds. And the car is internally hemorrhaging. Then, in November, Thanksgiving Day arrives. You know the drive to Grandma's will make the children tired and crabby. The church service will probably run too long. The pastor's message will be about Thanksgiving, just like it was last year when you went to church. At dinner, you hate it when your cranberries melt into your mashed potatoes and the idea of giblet dressing makes you squirm. Of course, the bird, which everyone proclaims as the best ever, is a tad dry. In the afternoon, during a football halftime, you draw the names of relatives out of a hat, so you know who you have to buy presents for at Christmas. You pick the name. No, not them again. You didn't know what to get them last year. You're tired of telling the children it's Thanksgiving Day, not Turkey Day. But in your more honest moments, you agree with them. That's the world. For the world, there is no contentment. There is no Thanksgiving. When Pam and I moved to St. Louis, even before all of our boxes were unpacked, we set up two bird feeders. We were fascinated by the variety of birds that flocked in. There were nuthatches, doves, finches, cardinals, jays, woodpeckers, and some I haven't identified. They varied in appetite, size, pecking order, and color. And in spite of their differences, those birds had two things in common. They all took the food we were providing for granted, and whenever anyone came out of our house, they all flew away in fear. We weren't going to hurt them. We didn't want to bother them. But the birds couldn't understand that. From what I've seen, it's not much different for people. Most humans act as if the clothes they wear, the food they eat, the life they lead is all something that just magically happens. Humans delude themselves into thinking that they are the creators of their own destinies, the providers of all of life's bounties. And if God, the real provider, gets close to them, they fly for cover. That's the world. For the world, there is no contentment. There is no thanksgiving. But for Christians, it's different. Because of Jesus, whether they're flying or fishing, they remember to give thanks. Christians have someone to whom they can give thanks. Christians know they have a God who has given them clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, everything they need to support this body and life. Now, at this point in the sermon, I'm supposed to tell you that all Christians are thankful. I won't say that. You would know I'm not telling the truth. You know a lot of Christians who are no more thankful and no happier than the average Joe or Jane. That's because all too many pastors are saying, and all too many Christians believe, that when you become a follower of Jesus, he is instantly going to make you prettier, happier, thinner, wealthier, bigger, more successful, more popular, healthier, stronger, and more influential. There are a lot of pastors saying, and a lot of people believe, that when you become a Christian, you will automatically become immune from sadness and sickness, depression and discouragement, headache, heartbreak, and hurt. Christianity doesn't work that way. The Lord causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Our Savior said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. God's word never says Christians won't have worries. But we are told that when worries arrive, we can cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. Jesus didn't say that everyone would love his followers, applaud and appreciate them. On the contrary, he said his people would be blessed because they were for his sake insulted, persecuted, and slandered. For Christians, thankfulness doesn't come because they have it made in the shade. They know that they, like everyone else in this world, are sinners. They know there is no religious immunization you can take that will make you impervious to agony and anguish. They know that thankfulness, true thankfulness, untarnishing thankfulness, cannot be based on the temporary, the transient, the transitory, the worldly. They know true thankfulness can only come from an unchanging, always caring God. Look at the Old Testament story of Noah. Here's a man who doesn't have many reasons to be thankful. All he once knew is gone. Cities, gone. Farms, gone. Shopping malls, gone. Vegetation, wildlife, and relatives are mostly gone. The whole world is before him, but it is a hurting world, empty and cold, filled with loneliness. Confronted by this bleak and barren place, Noah leaves the ark and takes some of his precious animals and makes a sacrifice of thanks to God. He sees God's rainbow covenant and knows he is not alone, has never been alone, cannot be alone. Noah, in the face of a loss that most of us cannot imagine, remains thankful. Look at the Apostle Paul. He had been shipwrecked and stoned, unjustly accused and hounded from city to city. He had been mobbed, beaten, jailed, and tormented. The day would come when he would die for the Savior. Considering all of these things, Paul could write, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Indeed, because he had seen what Jesus had done for him upon the accursed cross, he learned to be content in whatever circumstance he found himself. In times of need and in times of plenty, he learned to be content. Whether he was fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want, he had learned to be content. All this he could do because the Lord God gave him strength. Paul knew, because of Jesus, whether you're flying or fishing, you can remember to give thanks. Without God, a person whose cancer is in remission can say, "I am so happy." Good. I'm glad they're happy. But the day will come when that cancer will not go into remission. On that day, what will such a person do? In contrast, a Christian can calmly say, "It's all right. I'm not alone. I am at peace. I am going home to a better place to be with my Savior Jesus." That is a heart that offers true thanksgiving, a heart that knows, because Jesus is there, life has no pitfall, no tragedy, which cannot be conquered by the Savior. Listeners, and now I especially talk to those of you who don't know Jesus, let me ask. Will Thanksgiving Day 2002 begin and end with an emptiness that no amount of Thanksgiving feasting can fill? Will this Thanksgiving Day be just another day with no one to thank or applaud? Will this Thanksgiving Day see you surrounded by family and friends who cannot break through a shell of sin-created loneliness that surrounds you? Will this Thanksgiving Day be checked off your calendar as just another day without love? To you I say, if you are alone, if you feel guilty, if you have been treated unfairly, there is a Savior who can help. Jesus, God's Son, who gave himself so that you might have life and have it abundantly, is ready to change things. Luthernauer Ministries wants to help you meet him who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Call the number we will give you before this broadcast concludes. Meet Jesus, the love of God, who wishes to give you, whether you are flying or fishing, a life of thanksgiving. It was right before Thanksgiving that the Home Economics Department of the University of Minnesota received a phone call. Lady wanted to know if a turkey was safe to eat. Her mother had moved to the nursing home, and now the daughter was cleaning out the mom's freezer. There at the bottom, she discovered a turkey that had, according to the date on the tag, been in the freezer for 23 years. "Is it safe to eat?" she asked. The home economist drew a deep breath, and as kindly as she could, she said, "No, I don't think you should eat it. In fact, it could make you pretty sick." "I thought so," came the reply. "I'll just give it to the food bank for Thanksgiving." To give the leftovers to the poor, it's a terrible thought, isn't it? It's almost as bad as giving God your leftovers. That's why I say to those of you who do know Jesus, who know God's Son was given to save you from your sins, give God your best. This Thanksgiving Day, give God your best thanks, for he has given you eternity. This Thanksgiving Day, give God your best thanks for all that he does for you daily. This Thanksgiving, give God your best thanks for all you have and for all you don't have, yes, even for the things you don't have. Rejoice in the accidents in which you were not involved, the illnesses that never came, and the times you could have fallen, but didn't. Be thankful that the house didn't burn down when you left the coffee pot on for 5 hours. Be thankful that when you left the garage door open all night, nothing was stolen. In Jesus, be thankful that when the phone rang in the middle of the night, it was a wrong number and not someone calling to tell you about a death in the family. This Thanksgiving Day, give your best to him who gave his best to you. This Thanksgiving Day, whether flying or fishing, give thanks for Jesus, your Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministry.